The first time Harun Mogul appeared on this program was late in 2010. The topic was Oklahoma's so-called Sharia ban. Harun has been back with us numerous times since then as an articulate commentator, incisive critic, and even as a Muslim humorist. Now, Harun is also a memoirist. His book, How to Be a Muslim, An American Story, comes out on June 6th from Beacon Press, and I am delighted that it brings him once again to State of Belief Radio. Harun, welcome back to the show.
I am really excited to be back on the show.
Did you have any inkling at that time, 6 years later, you'd be talking about the memoir that you've published?
It's amazing the places life takes you. I was actually in D.C. last December, and I was there for my work with the Shalom Hartman Institute, which is a Jewish educational institution, and I was booked in a hotel not far from a bridge where exactly 4 years before that I had contemplated ending my life. And I remember sitting in that hotel and thinking that in the 4 years that have passed, I got divorced, I got remarried, wrote a memoir, and I worked for an Israeli-American institution that I didn't even know existed 4 years ago. And, you know, it's been quite the journey. And a big part of the reason that I made it through was because writing what I was going through really helped me make sense of it.
This is a very personal memoir, but also it is a sweeping overview of the American Muslim experience post 9/11 as well. What are some of the changes that you focused on in this book that impact the entirety of Muslims' relationships?
There's a bunch of topics that I decided to tackle, which I thought were important, both because they're part of my journey and because I don't think we're talking about them enough. And that includes divorce. It includes mental illness. It includes, you know, how Muslims relate to other faith communities, and the pressure of being a person of faith and struggling with your religious identity at the same time as that religious identity is a really contentious topic in our national conversation. I remember reading an analysis of the 2016 election, and the greatest predictor of whether someone would vote for Trump or Clinton was whether or not they thought Barack Obama was a Muslim. Mm-hmm. So you imagine coming of age in the United States, and, you know, you're a young woman or a young man, and you're trying to figure out your religious identity for yourself. And at the same time as all of that is happening, and that's growing up is difficult enough, you've got to deal with the fact that the country seems to think that you're either a marginalized minority or a dangerous fifth column bent on, as you know, as you pointed out the first time I was on this show, taking over Oklahoma. And a fair number of people think that's actually what's happening.
Hmm. Harun, would you talk about what you call the performance of being a Muslim, which is central to the way you describe your early life?
So, you know, every faith tradition obviously has its own particularities, and Islam, very much like Judaism, is a religion of law. And, you know, we call it Sharia and Judaism call it a halakha, but it's kind of the same thing. And, you know, you don't necessarily wear your faith on your sleeve, but the length of your sleeve, as I put it, is part of your faith. And so the challenge for that is that, you know, you learn very early on that you can pretend to be religious, because as long as you do the right things in public, people will assume that, you know, your heart and your body are in the same place. So the external you and the internal you is in the same place. And so I learned very early on that I could avoid the wrath of my parents, so to speak, and the fear of hellfire by just doing the right things in public. But that actually just made it worse, because then I felt like a hypocrite, because here I am in public genuflecting like a good Muslim should. But in private, all I'm thinking about is who I want to date or, you know, where I'm going to get my next drink from.
Yeah.
There is a thread I see repeatedly in this book, and it's the kind of a need to rebel against Islam as part of a normal personal maturation process but at the same time feeling obligated to defend Islam against endless external assaults. Am I right about that? And if so, what does that do to a person's ability to just develop a healthy relationship with his culture and faith?
You know what's really creepy is you sound exactly like my psychologist from yesterday. So maybe I should be paying you. I don't know if you're out of network, but actually he said the same thing. He said that, you have two Haruns in your head. There's the Harun of I should do this and Harun of I want to do this. And he said part of you is a creative personality and you want to be free of constraints and you want to make things. And then there's a part of you that wants discipline. And I think it would have been a lot easier for me and for a lot of people, actually, just going back to your previous question, to have developed a practice and understanding of Islam that makes sense in their American context, were it not for the external pressure. So right now, some of the most important questions that Muslims have been and should be asking themselves about gender, about power, all those kinds of things, have been frozen because of President Trump. So when you're afraid that your community is under assault, you're not in a position to actually be creative with your religion anymore. And you hit the nail on the head that this is something that I've struggled with my whole life, and I think is paralyzing the development of a richer American Islam.
What advice can you offer others who are on a similar path as the one that you've followed? What suggestions or warnings would you like a younger Harun Mogul to keep in mind?
I actually often ask myself this, that if I could go back and, you know, this sort of question, if you could go back and tell yourself one thing, what would it be? But the next question is that why would the person you used to be even listen to you? Because you weren't in that place. And, probably like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I think the lesson from that is sometimes we need to make mistakes because they make us better people. What I would say to a younger Harun, other than myself, is I would say two things. The first is you do have to actually have love and compassion for yourself. And I don't mean that in some kind of trite way. I mean in a deep sense that you know, we're all created in God's image. And so you have to honor and respect that. There's a reason you're here in the world. And the second thing is that be patient. And I don't mean in the sort of you should suffer something. I just mean that, like we said earlier, life can take you in some pretty remarkable places if you don't rush it. You don't have to force an outcome. You can be okay living with ambiguity. Give yourself the time and the room to develop and figure out who you want to be. And don't listen to people who are trying to pressure you in one direction, because that ultimately is a disservice to yourself and to the reason you're here.
Well, that's very helpful. Has the formation of an American Muslim identity become any easier in recent years?
So, I mean, I would say there's two main streams of American Islam, the largest kind of demographic clusters. And the first is African-American Muslims, for whom, you know, their Muslim identity is deeply American. And they include some of the most influential Americans of all time, like Malcolm X or Muhammad Ali, and potentially Barack Obama. We're not 100% sure yet. If he's actually secretly Muslim. It would be cool if he was, but I don't think he is. And then the second are people of more recent immigrant origin. And I think the great challenges facing American Islam are, first, you know, immigrant communities finding their footing in America, and then these two communities, immigrant and African American, learning how to work with each other. And unfortunately, many times immigrant origin communities have been dismissive of African American Muslim communities. Mm-hmm. And of the immense contributions they've made, and of the power they have in the American imagination. And that's been a disservice, I think, to American Islam generally. But I think we're in some pretty remarkable places. There's bad news, there's good news, but, we saw in Portland, for example, you know, three complete strangers just last week come to the aid of two Muslim women who were being attacked. And to me, that speaks of something really strong and amazing in the American psyche.
If you were talking with an atheist or a devout Christian, and one of them asked you, why in the world would I read a book on how to be a Muslim? How would you answer that?
Well, it's not really a book about how to be a Muslim in this simple sense of do these five things and you're miraculously Muslim. It's a story of how you struggle to be something you think you should be. And that's a story everyone has. So whether you're Catholic or you're Protestant, whether you're Jewish or you're Hindu, you're secular, you're agnostic, we all have ideals we aspire to. And sometimes to see how people struggle with those journeys gives us a perspective on the world and sometimes a confidence in ourselves. I mean, one of the most influential books I've read in the last few years is a memoir of a guy named Shalem Dean called All Who Go Do Not Return. And he's raised Orthodox Jewish, and he has a crisis of faith. Unlike me, he leaves the faith. But I found that book so raw and affecting and powerful and courageous. And that's what I wanted to write. I wanted to write a story that people could say, hey, I don't know the particulars of this tradition. I'm happy to be informed of it, but there's something here that resonates with me personally.
If you were telling someone what you wanted them to get out of it, what your goal would be for them to be feeling or thinking when they put it down, what would that be?
I mean, I want them to put it down and think, wow, I should tell all my friends to buy this book. But probably not the answer you're looking for, although at least it's honest. What I would like them to get out of it is the sense that they find a story that connects with them on a deep level, that they hear something in there that they might hear in themselves, and they appreciate what it's like to be Muslim in America today in a really deep sense, because we talk a lot about Islam and we talk a lot about Muslims, but we almost never hear from Muslims. And when we do, it's a 10-second soundbite. It's not a deep dive and a chance to actually say, what does this actually look like and feel like, and where is this going?
Harun Mogul is a senior fellow at the Center for Global Policy and the Muslim Leadership Initiative facilitator at the Shalom Hartman Institute. His book, How to Be a Muslim, An American Story, is available for pre-order right now. The book launch event for How to Be a Muslim is Tuesday, June 6th in New York City at the New York University Bookstore, 726 Broadway. Harun, it's great to talk with you again, and I want to wish you great success with this book. People reading it will get something really special out of it. I look forward to welcoming you back on this show in the very near future.
Thank you so much. It's been great to hear your voice again.